Good morning, everyone. We're in a series on nets and fishing, preparing really for our Alpha course as a church. Tom and I looked it in. We wanted to do a little series on fishing, on nets. We thought it was very relevant as we prepare to do this course, obviously starting on Monday. Now, I don't know whether outreach and evangelism causes a reaction in you. For some, it's great, timely reminder, time to invite people that I've been looking at and thinking about, or it's a nice timely reminder that that's what we can do, and think about the lost people. To others, it may be, oh no, a shudder. Maybe you suddenly immediately think of your own inadequacy of sharing the gospel or sharing your faith. Or it might be you feel guilty that you're not doing it. Or you might remember some bad times you've done it, where you've been rejected or trudging through the bridge to life. That reminds me of my old days, going through the old little booklet called Bridge to Life or quoting Bible verses. Well, I don't know what reaction that you've got. The truth is, most of us struggle. And most of us don't see the fruit we should. Because God has called us to be outward looking. I don't know about you, but beyond our families, beyond our church, God has called us to be outward looking. And we have been designed to bear fruit, to see the kingdom multiply, to see the kingdom come through salvations. That's what God has called us and built in us. And Jesus even said this. Jesus said we would do even more than he did. And it says in John 14, verse 12, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. But we don't quite see things. And often what happens is we try and change things at church. You know, particularly our meetings, and I've had this discussion many, many, many times with people, and they say, what we need to do is change our meetings to make us more outward looking, to see evangelism, to see people saved. We need to change our Sunday. And we need to make our meetings, we talk about how the meetings could be more seeker friendly. We could have shorter preaches. And that's what some churches have done, even in Perth. They've almost removed the preach. We need shorter worship, and certainly no dodgy bits in the worship. No dodgy bits. What I mean by that is God through charismatic gifts and things. Or we need the chairs the other way around. Or we need the PA needs to be quieter. Or we need to do outreach. We need to strategize and do outreach in small groups. Now, I'm not saying any of those things are unhelpful, but they don't tackle the core issue. They're what I would describe as window dressing, you know, the classic shop window dressing. We're dealing with something external. We're trying to deal with something that's internal by an external change, which never works. We just need to look at Jesus. And that's what we're doing this morning. He reached people. He saw people saved. People gathered to him. So what did Jesus have that we struggle to have at times? And it's one thing above all other things. He loved the lost. He loved lost people. People who were far from God. You know, we can look at these external things, the structures, meetings, strategies. But if we don't cultivate and increase our love for lost people, we will not see things happen. You know, Jesus didn't see people as a project or a contact or a convert. He never saw people as a means to an end. He loved people. He loved them individually. You can see this in the gospel. Yes, he spoke to the masses, but he then spoke to individuals. Healing of Jairus' daughter. The woman caught in adultery. Nicodemus. These are individuals that Jesus loved. The rich man who came up to Jesus and asked the question, and it says in the scripture, he loved him. Even at that moment, Jesus loved the lost. He loved people who were far from God. It says in Acts 10, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Doing good. He never saw people as a convert or a project. My story was when I was in Newcastle as a student many years ago. I got to know a person on my course at university, and I plucked up courage to invite them to a gospel meeting at our church. Now, Newcastle, I just want to tell you, Newcastle has a metro system, and the church was quite a distance, so I had to go by metro with him to the church. It was several stations down the line. Now, just so you know, metros are, as you know, like the underground, have got sliding doors, and the trains come in regularly and all of that type of thing. So I went to the station and I was buying tickets with the guy from my course, and I felt the rush of wind coming up the escalator. Now, anybody who knows the underground or metro system knows, what does that mean? A train's coming. So I shouted to my friend or contact, and I said, let's go. And I ran down from the ticket machine, ran down the escalator, ran onto the platform, and jumped on the train with the doors open. And as I was doing that, I could see that the doors were going to shut. I felt that sense of confidence that, you know, we were late already for the meeting. As Francis would know, I'm always late. And I thought, this is it. This is it. I've got on the train. And as the doors shut, I turned round and found that my contact wasn't even on the platform. I'd left him at the ticket machine. He'd got lost. He was trying to put money in. And then, of course, he then finally came to the bottom of the escalator, and the train was leaving. And I was on the train and he was on the platform. I mean, what? I can't believe how bad that was, that moment. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what church we were at. He didn't have a clue. And I had lost him. I'd been given one job, was to get him from A to B, and I'd failed. You know, I know it sounds funny, but it's an illustration. Sometimes we treat people as a project, don't we? A contact. And we can leave people standing on the platform. Do we really love lost people? Do we really? Do we love our family? Do we love maybe our church? But do we really love lost people? Jesus loved people. He represented the Father. God so loved the world. He never saw them as a contact or a convert. Even when he looked at the masses, he saw them as individuals needing a shepherd. Remember the great scripture, and he says, look, they are sheep without a shepherd. I feel God is calling us to increase our love for the lost. And I think this verse, this story in Luke chapter 5 at the beginning, is a fantastic story to encourage us today. It's the story of Jesus and the disciples and fishing, but it describes how Jesus transforms us. It helps us overcome disappointment. It shows a vision of abundance, and it shows our new role. It's not true that we don't have a love for the lost. Every Christian does. The Holy Spirit inside us will never let that go. We want people to see who Jesus is, but we need to learn. And that's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. Let's just quickly go through it. It was a story of transformation. Just a quick one. This story starts calling Peter Simon. Then he's called Simon Peter. And then he's called Peter. I don't know if you know, but Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter. And this is the actual scripture that does that transfer, does that transformation. He's from this point onwards, Peter is known as Peter. wasn't the same. You know, Jesus totally changes Simon Peter's identity, and it's represented by his name change. Peter suddenly sees who Jesus is after the fish is brought on board. Before that, he was a teacher and a carpenter. Knew nothing about fishing. How does that guy know about fishing? He was reluctant to go out anyway. But when he saw that haul of fish coming in, he suddenly realized he is not just a teacher and a carpenter, but he is Lord and Master, and Lord and Master over the natural. And he was undone. And it doesn't say that in the video, but he turns to Jesus. He was undone. His flaws were exposed. He says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." And yet Jesus, at that moment of vulnerability in Peter's life, Jesus steps forward and affirms him and invites him to be part of the family. You know, Jesus changes us too. Jesus changes our identity too. And at the core of growing in our love for the lost is a revelation of who we have been and who we are now. When we recognize how flawed we were, and now how much God loves us to the skies, then we are now ready to love others who are lost. You know, having a deep sense of humility and boldness at the same time is deeply attractive. You know, if we're just bold, we can become overbearing, quoting scripture, pushy, agenda-based, and that just puts people off. And if we're just humble, we'll never say anything. We never think we've got anything to say or share, and we hide, which is also wrong, because that's false humility. But combine the two, both humble and bold, we have that incredible base to start to love the lost. And to increase our love for the lost, it starts by recognizing this transformation that God has done inside us. But this story is also about a story of overcoming disappointment. They had been fishing all night and caught nothing. The disciples were disappointed and they'd given up. The boats were on the shore. That's quite the unusual bit of the story. They'd given up. You know, disappointment is a huge barrier to loving the lost. We will not love the lost when we dwell in disappointment from previous events, previous times, and previous rejections. You know, disappointment can suck faith from us, and it comes in and makes us passive and lower our expectations, and we become guarded. You know, the truth is, people will reject us. You know, Billy's not coming to Alpha because he thinks it's a cult. Sandra doesn't want to come because she hates religion. That's the responses we can get. And now the Bible just say, you know, there's quite a few verses to help us here. One is to brush our feet and go to the next town. Jesus actually says that. And he also says, if they reject you, don't worry, they're rejecting me. But this story is about trying again. Peter says to Jesus, "We've toiled all night and took nothing. And yet, at your word, Lord, we'll let down our nets." I think Tom covered this last week. Don't give up. God says, don't give up. Let's keep going. God calls us not to give up, to follow his word and direction, but not to give up. We do need to overcome disappointment. I think particularly in our country, we do suffer from disappointment. And the way is to step forward, to follow his lead and not give up. But there's another bit of this story which just encourages about this whole thing. And it's an amazing story. We often miss the point that this story is a story of vision, of hope, abundance, and miraculous power. You can miss it, but it was a miraculous catch. These two boats were absolutely filled with fish. You needed two of them to come together to get the whole catch ashore. This was not an ordinary catch. It was an extraordinary catch of fish. So what is this a vision of? Why did Jesus do this for Peter and the disciples? It's a vision of the people, of the harvest to come. And it's also a vision of what is possible through you and me when the power of God is operating through us. You know, so often we rely on ourselves, which has no power at all. Yet when we yield to him, look at the outcome. The fish was utterly abundant. It's just interesting to say that this was a miracle in the natural. It was a miracle. Interesting, the gospel and miracles, that it was a miracle. But it was in the natural, it was fish. But yet it pointed to the miracle in the heavenlies. And that is obviously salvation of many. But this is a story to encourage us. What is possible? And finally, I do think the story also tells us a new role for Peter, James, and Zebedee. They were fishermen, and what they were going to move on to was something very different. But one of the other great lies of the enemy to us in the middle of when we're reaching others and loving the lost is that it's somebody else's job. Somebody else's job. It's the evangelist's job, or it's Andrew, or somebody else in the church who's got more extrovert. We immediately think it's somebody else's job. Now, anyone who's done APES with me, which is the training, knows that we've all been given the ministry of Jesus. And we all have apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, shepherd, teacher part of us. And we're all a mix and a blend of some of those. And some of those things are stronger in us and some are weaker. And evangelism is often low. And as soon as we think it's low, we pass that on to somebody else. We think, well, that's not my job then. But as hopefully the people remember who've done the course with me, is that actually we've all been given the ministry of Jesus at a base level. We are not excused. We've all been called to be apostolic, to move the frontier of Christianity forward. Go and make disciples is a call to us all. We've all been called to be prophetic. Be eager to prophesy is to all. And we've all been called to love one another. That's not just the shepherd or the pastor's job. That is our job. But we've all been called to reach and love the lost. It says in 1 Peter, be ready to share the hope you have. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope you have. We can't pass this on to somebody else. Loving the lost starts by recognizing we have a role to play. It's not the experts or the specialists. In fact, they are to equip us in doing this job. That's the real role, as you people remember from Ephesians 4. So we all have a role to play. Now, as I finish, it's easier to hear this, and you think, right, okay, so we leave today. We need to love the lost more. We need to do this, and we need to do that. And we go and try and do this out of guilt or pressure, or even worse, we just ignore it. Ignore our call to increase our love for the lost. But I want you to see one of the most really important thing in this whole story of Jesus and the disciples is Jesus takes them on a journey, on a process. He says, I will make you fishers of men. And he says that in Mark as well and Matthew. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Make is a doing word. It's the same type of word as to fashion something, to create something. So if you were going to make a cake, you would follow a recipe, which is then a process to make the cake. It's a doing, it's a series of steps. And God is calling us to this process. And it's a process of the heart. You know, the disciples didn't come out the box loving the lost. They didn't come back out the box with all their identity fully understood. This, even after this event, Jesus had to train them and help them learn what it means to love the lost. It didn't happen overnight. But it is a process of the heart. But he says, but start this process is allowing him to change you and to teach you to love the lost. Peter said yes to Jesus. When Peter stood in front of Jesus after fishing all night, and Jesus said, go out into the deep and cast your nets in the deep. Peter said, nah, I'm not sure. But because you said, I will do it. Just quickly, you've got some opportunities just to give you some whet your appetite of what some of the things you could do to help you on this journey in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You've got a fantastic opportunity to invite people to Alpha. Start by praying for them. Start by asking God for people. And also, just one of the great ways to learn and increase your love for the lost is pray for them. Come along to the prayer. Don't worry if you can't, and nobody's coming to Alpha, that's fine. But come to the prayer, because that will increase your love for people. When you pray for people, it increases. But to go deeper with your love, not just names, let's just quote some names. Let's ask God for the love for the lost. But you can come along to Alpha Prayer on a Monday night. Another one, which is about when I was talking about identity. You've got a fantastic opportunity for 4 weeks to learn around our identity. What I was talking about with Peter and that whole change in his name. That's with TSM module with Marco on a Thursday night. 4 modules. If anybody's got concern about money, please come and speak to me or Tom. I absolutely can't understand why people wouldn't go for that. It's such an important part of us. That's a great way to start. Let that understand that transformation in us. And then the final one is the parenting for faith. Learning to reach and demonstrate faith to our children, to children, is such a great thing you could learn. Those are little steps, little opportunities to let Jesus take you on this journey to love the lost and increase our love for them. But it does say with you saying yes. Peter said, if you say so, Master, we will do it.